Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're having technical problems with that opening clip. This is the Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast, hosted by yours truly, Tyler Brook, out there in Pearl River, New York, producing it. Mark Mancini out here in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you missed the episode, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Tyler, the three, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you got a great guest today.
Thanks, Mark. And for those that are just tuning in, apparently Mark's not as tech-savvy as we thought we were, so he's blaming that on technical difficulties. But all joking aside, yes, we do have another great guest, but first we're going to get some stuff out of the way. Mom, if you're listening to this, I hope you had a very lovely birthday this weekend, and I'm really glad you're in my life. I also like to take a shout-out to our sponsors, ExitSpace and Star Candles, both of which are making my merchandise, the latter of whom, a good portion of their proceeds go to a shelter dealing with women who are struggling single mothers and abused. Simone, how are you doing today?
Hey, just fine, brother, just fine.
Glad to hear that. Now, before we go any further, you want to talk a bit about yourself, who you are, where we can find you, and all that other fun stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, my name is Dr. Simone Hicks, and you can find me on YouTube. I have a channel called Better People, and on that channel, we give a lot of life advice, a lot of uplifting content, but also the best thing is that I do a nerd show with my son, and we talk about all of the nerdy topics, just like you guys, all of the things that people love, and we say the things that you really were thinking, but you never said it out loud. So it's a wonderful thing. I love it.
Terrific, terrific. Our episode today is going to be called The Art of Character Development. In a nutshell, we're going to be talking about how characters can develop properly, the best way to do it if you're a writer or an aspiring writer, can't English today, an aspiring writer who wants to create their own characters, deal with their own relative struggles, and this is the best way to do so. We got our first comment, Doug from Norman, Oklahoma. Hey, guys, how are you really interested in this show? Well, Doug, I'd like to think I'd be interested in my own show, so thank you for the shout-out. But, Simone, let me ask you, what do you think makes a good character as far as development goes?
Well, when the author or the writer spends time with the character. Example, like a main character, we see their struggles. We see them when they're basically nothing or the opposite of what the author wants them to be or to portray. when they go through that process, whether it's a good character or a bad character, it's always a good story to behold.
Nice. Fran from Bellingham, Washington says, I'm a writer. Thanks for the opportunity to share this episode to my friends as well as here. Thanks, Fran. So with those technical difficulties or Mark's less than savvy tech experience, whatever you want to call this, one of the characters I was going to nominate for this episode was Dinobot. No, not the original Gen 1 continuity Dinobots, the Beast Wars character Dinobot, the Predacon turned Maximal, briefly turned back into Predacon, and then ultimately Maximal, who had his own struggles to deal with on a, say, more Shakespearean level. In fact, his last words were, "The rest is silence," in homage to Hamlet. In that episode, Code of Hero, for those of us that don't know, Beast Wars is a sequel prequel. By that I mean the Predacons and Maximals, the descendants of the Autobots and Decepticons, respectfully, take a wormhole, essentially through space and time, to a prehistoric Earth, which unbeknownst to them was Earth. And in fact, instead of adopting vehicular modes, like many of the Transformers we recognize, they had to take on animal skins, so to speak. So their alternate modes would be more reflective of that. Dinobot's name, as he suggests, actually transforms into a raptor in homage to the Jurassic Park franchise. As his character goes, easily one of the best friends in the entire show. He had complexes within himself. Whether he was truly honor-bound, whether the fact of why was he here and what is my purpose. And in Code of Hero, we see this go full circle. And the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his life to make sure that the Predacons don't destroy the humans' ancestors in order to prevent his rebirth from being changed. Simone, do you agree? Do you think this is a great character development?
Yeah, I think that based on what I said earlier about spending time with the character, from what I remember, because I love that show, it was one of my favorites, that it took a couple seasons, you know, it took many episodes for Dinobot to get to that point. We saw him full on buying into the Predacon way of doing things. And you would slowly see him start to question that, just little bits at a time. He would notice things that Megatron did that he didn't agree with, or he would be ordered to do something that was against his code of ethics. And from there, it started the journey of him changing his mind and growing as a character.
Absolutely. One such episode is the episode Maximal No More, where he briefly joins the Predacons again. Megatron, who actually takes his name from the Gen 1 Megatron, orders him, Dinobot, to kill Rattrap, his former comrade, but realizes that he can't do it. So even though he switched sides, the character himself remains to the same. But honestly, in my experience, I never really liked the term good guy, bad guy. I get why people use it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's the hero in their own story. Even characters like, say, as abysmal as, say, Hitler. Hitler was the main character in his own story, and what he did, or at least what he felt he did, was the right thing to do. I'm not saying it was, but it was pretty heinous all the same. So I guess this just goes proof to show that we should allow more people into art school. Joking aside, yes, I've never really been fond of that term. Another great example of character development, but before I go any further, Simone, do you think TV shows or movies do better with character development?
Well, I can't really say one does better than the other because there are two different techniques to do it. Within a TV show, you have a longer period of time to develop characters. You can fit in more characters. For example, something like an Avengers. You would have a season to fit in, you know, six characters versus the movie. You have to do all of that within a 2-hour time frame, hour and a half time frame. So you have to overcome a lot of limitations. You can't spend time to put the character through the paces. So I guess I think they're different mediums. They're different things, and the writers have to have different skill sets to accurately tell those stories.
Honestly, I feel like TV shows definitely do it better, considering how much time you have to work with. Otherwise, it's just like trying to shove 20 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bag. But that's not to say character development doesn't happen in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which, are you a Fox and the Hound, or are you familiar with the film The Fox and the Hound?
Oh, it's been a while, but yeah. It's been a while since I saw that movie, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, for starters, the quote-unquote villain of the story, Amos Slade, which, one fact for y'all, for those that have seen the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory film, Grandpa Joe actually voiced this character and was the last role he partake before his death. So that's a little fun fact for you. But honestly, his character wasn't really a villain. If anything, he was an anti-villain in the sense that he was already good, or quote-unquote good, even though you could say, oh, he's a hunter, therefore he must be evil. It's like, no, he's hunting because that's how he makes a living.
Exactly.
Based on that logic, everyone that ever has eaten a steak is automatically evil.
You know, that makes me think about a conversation I had with my son and my wife today. We were talking about the Harry Potter game that's on the way, the Hogwarts Legacy. And we watched the clip, and there was a teacher from Slytherin House. But the teacher was very jovial, had a bright appearance. And one would think that he didn't belong there, you know, because of how he looked and the way his voice sounded, but he was in Slytherin House. That's another example of what you're saying, how a character can be in one camp or be in a certain location or associate with a certain faction or people and personally be something different.
Honestly, it really shouldn't matter what school or what – is it school they're under, or – I'm not as familiar with Harry Potter as I am with Lord of the Rings.
It's different houses, and usually the bad people or the more evil people belong to Slytherin House. So if you have someone that doesn't fit that mold and they're there, it does something to your mind.
Wow, can you say classism much? No pun intended, by the way.
Not exactly. Not exactly. I would say more of a sorting. Not where one is better than the other.
Right, because incidentally, all the villains, quote unquote, happen to go to Slytherin.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if that's just bad writing or coincidental, but take that with a grain of salt. Dave from New Massachusetts says, I like your perspective, Simone.
Oh, thanks.
But honestly, what I was referring to Amos Slade specifically, he starts off as a more neutral character, even though he's a hunter. He gets a new training dog, but the dog becomes friends with the fox kin. Though foxes and hunting dogs are natural enemies. And then eventually throughout the film, there's an incident that leads to the chief, the older dog, having his leg broken, which honestly I think it would have been better had they killed him off to show actual meaning to the whole concept of the later half of the story, in which the old lady drops the fox off at a wildlife preservation center. But despite this, Amos Slade just goes straight for revenge in order to kill the fox. At the final moment, the fox saves his friend and the hunter from a bear. The hunter then decides to shoot him. The dog decides to protect Todd. Amos said, get out of the way. The dog, you can tell from the eyes that says, why shoot him? Nothing's going to change. At this point, this is just senseless killing. And then you notice, mm-hmm. and then within that animation, it's like you can tell him he's actually reflecting and thinking, which is nothing, which is a lot of things you don't notice in modern animation today. It's all just 3D and special effects. You really don't see the attention to detail anymore. And honestly, that kind of worries me.
Well, there's one thing in writing. Most writers do this, and it's, they say show, you know, they want to show you an emotion. They want to write in what the character's thinking and feeling instead of just telling you that directly. And that's what you just said is a perfect example of that. Instead of the author saying, okay, this character feels this way directly, they show it through their animation. Like you said, it looks like he was thinking. And I think that aids in character development, because when people can make their own decisions and they be led to a particular thought that you want them to go to, it sticks a little more. It's something that they buy more into.
Well said. And we're about that halfway point. So, Simone, can I get a drum roll, please?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Drum roll.
Wow.
Need to add, please.
As great as
please.
You are writing and talking, you suck at drum rolls. Anywho, trivia character time. Trivia question time. I cannot English today. Dante Bosco voiced Zuko in the original Avatar, The Last Airbender series. Which character did he voice in the sequel series, Korra?
Oh,
now,
you got me on that
one. We actually got another question coming from Ken from Wheeling, West Virginia. How about the new Marvel that's coming out February 17th? You boys into it? Honestly, I kind of feel like Marvel's just not as good as it used to be. At this point, since Disney owns Marvel, they're just spitting out content because they have the capability of doing so.
Well, I think that the stories, the way the character development, you know, tracking back to what we're talking about, they don't do it. Well, they do it, but they run counter to who the characters are. I want Marvel to win me back so bad. I want them to win me back. And with Phase 4, they have not done it. In fact, they pushed me further away. But I'm hopeful for Ant-Man, even though I think they're going to mess it up anyway. But I'm hopeful.
I mean, let's call spade to spade on this. Marvel's two saving graces for Phase 4 are Into the Spider-Verse, I believe that was it. Or no, it was No Way Home. I'm mixing them
up.
Yeah, I can.
But man, you can't
count
that.
It's a fan service. It happened after Tony Stark's death. Spoiler.
But Sony was the main producer of it. I can't call that a Marvel movie. Sony did that. Marvel just pitched in a little bit. That's Sony. I can't give Marvel that. I refuse.
All right, you can refuse until you're blue into the face. Doesn't change the fact that it is Marvel.
Oh, no, look it up. Look it up. Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man movies. If you look at the deal that they made, it was I can't remember the percentages, but Marvel gets a cut. Sony takes the main billing. Marvel approved it.
Yes or no? Is that part of the Phase 4 MCU lineup?
No. I say no. There are no inclusion of no other.
But let's not get sidetracked about this. So Zuko is another phenomenal example of character development gone right. He starts off in the season one wanting to hunt the Avatar just to restore his honor.
Right.
Season two, or book two as it's actually called, he starts realizing that this isn't the way to go, and he's starting to have some doubts. Say for the end, he just decides to join the winning team after the Fire Lord conquered Ba Sing Se, which was renamed New Ozai, but then officially went back to Ba Sing Se. And then season three, he's actually starting to doubt himself and decides to help Aang teach firebending and end this 100-year war. So honestly,
exactly.
A lot of personal growth from Zuko. And it's funny that the series only took a year. I don't mean like actually animating it. Like within that continuity, within that show, it started it started 1 year and then ended another year.
Well, yeah, and I love that character. He was one of the best. You know, the way they wrote him and the way that he went through, you know, his change. And the best parts were, and with any character, when they start to notice things and they slowly start to change, like at that point, that's when the people get invested.
Well said. But honestly, if you really want great character development, you got to make the characters relatable. Honestly, more so in their internal struggles than their external struggles. Because we all have external struggles, but what really relates to people, what really makes great characters, are the struggles they face on the inside that they don't always want to talk about. Because
and
I'm sure more people...
Oh, I was going to say...
Whether it's characters like, say, Zuko or Dinobot...
Mm-hmm.
Or even Robin from One Piece, another phenomenal example. I don't want to dive too much into this because I do have an episode that talks about character development within One Piece, but Robin is the perfect example of a good character development. She starts off as more like an anti-villain, an Alabasta, comes and all Andy's lobbying arc. She's willing to sacrifice herself to save her friend, but then says, I want to live, so they rescue her. And in Wano, she actually says, I would be happy to die for my friends. And you can definitely see that within the series itself. And if you don't feel like watching the anime, I agree, 1,000 episodes plus is too much. Definitely read the manga.
I'm going to slowly get into that one again.
At this point, you're just better off reading the manga, dude.
Yeah. Now, I would like to suggest a character. I don't know if you're a gamer. I said I would like to suggest a character. I don't know if you're a gamer or not, but the A1, the top, the best character development in all of media today, Kratos from God of War, from 2005 until 2022. That
I'm laughing at Zuko and Dinobot right now.
Oh, yeah. But I love the way they did Kratos. He started...
Honestly, first off, I'm going to answer your question. I'm not really much into gaming anymore because every time you get a new console, less than a year comes out. It's like, oh, you like the PS4? Yeah, it's okay. Well, fuck you. Here's the PS5. Seriously, just give us some time to enjoy the goddamn consoles. I don't think I'm asking for much. I mean, look, business level, I get it. You're just trying to make money, and that's the best way to do so. But ethically, just give me some time to enjoy the goddamn thing. Is that too much to ask?
I say buy it when you get ready. That's what I did. I waited, and I got it when I got ready to enjoy the old stuff at a discount.
but honestly, a lot of I'm just not a fan when they try to add stories into the game. It's like if I want to see a story, I watch a documentary or quite possibly a good series or even a movie, but I just want to play a game.
Well,
I don't need the whole backstory.
I will strongly suggest to you, just go on YouTube and watch the cutscene. That's a movie by itself. This is like the best father-son story that was ever written. You have a guy who was this killer, murderer, didn't care about anything, and transform into a loving father trying to learn how to be a dad to his son and teach him how not to be the way he was. It was phenomenal.
Okay, yeah, so maybe that's a good example of character development, but even then, it's just, I don't know why they necessarily need to give video game characters character depth. The whole point of playing a video game is to play. You want to see great character depth? Read a book. Watch a story. Watch a series. And even a film series would work as long as it's not like 20 freaking movies within the film franchise. Seriously, who needs that?
Well, I'll tell you what. One day, if you have spare time, do what I suggested and let me know what you think. I'm a purveyor of all those things, all of them, and I love all of them. But definitely, you know, in the realm of character development, it's really good. But the examples you gave with Zuko and Dinobot, I was surprised with Dinobot. I really like that character, so good job.
Blow your mind. Not only did Scott McNeil voice Dinobot, he also voiced Rattrap, Silverbolt,
yep.
Waspinator,
mm-hmm.
all of Dinobot's clones, plus one of the Tri-Predacon Council members. That's range.
Oh, yeah. The Tri-Predacon Council. I remember that.
Oh,
man.
Basically the leader of the Predacons in the era mm-hmm. that takes place after the Generation 1 continuity, where the Maximals
mm-hmm.
were, they're essentially... The Predacons are treated as second-class citizens. Outwardly, it's like,
yep.
yeah, okay, everything's fine. But inwardly, it's like, Mufi, you filthy Pred.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that's allegory for anything?
Oh, you broke up a little bit right there. Tell me one more time.
I said, can you say that's allegoric for anything?
Well, you can. You can. I mean, and I like the way that they, the way they write these characters and they write these stories. Again, like I said from the beginning, allowing the person to connect the dots on their own, where it sticks a little better. And what you just said was a perfect example of that.
Well, thank you. I'd like to think it was a phenomenal example. And honestly, I don't really see a lot of character growth within modern cinema or even films all together. I mean, they're good for what the target audience is supposed to be. Incidentally, everyone listening to this, don't watch Velma. I don't care how much hype HBO Max is giving it. Abort that thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't do it. And that's one of the things that turns me off, connects to what we talked about earlier with character development. When they take an established character and instead of going deeper to where what the character is, they pull a 180 and make them someone else that's counter to who they are. It's like
when
the,
Hasbro does what they am freaking renaming thing. At least when Hasbro do it, we get more iconic characters. Case in point, Inferno was a Generation 1 Autobot who transformed into a fire truck, whereas Beast Wars, he was an insane, loyal Predacon that turns into a fire ant.
Yes. Have you heard of Shattered Glass?
I have. It's a nice alternate concept, but we're starting to run out of time, so I'm going to reveal the trivia question. Dante Bosco voice-acted Zuko in the original series. Who did he voice in the sequel series, Korra? That answer? General Iroh, his grandson.
All right. That's a good one.
So, yeah, it's kind of nice when voice actors return for a sequel or even a spinoff series. Kind of like a little homage to fans. So, Simone, one more time, who are you, what do you do, and where can people find you?
Okay, my name is Dr. Simone Hicks. I am an educator, a motivational speaker, soon-to-be author, and you can find me, I have a YouTube channel called Better People. If you look up Better People, you'll see me on there. I give out a lot of good, helpful, motivational advice to help people improve their lives and become better people. I also do a nerd show with my son, and we talk about all the same things that we talk about on this show.
Terrific, terrific. A quick shout-out again to Star Candles and Nexus Space for sponsoring. Mom, hope you had a very lovely birthday weekend. And tune in next week, same number, as we talk about animation today with I'm a Muslim, and that's okay's podcast host, Chilla. And don't forget, if you like this episode, go to my sponsors page, get some wonderful merch from them, or if you don't feel like having clutter around the house, go to my Patreon page and support me, because as much as I like talking to y'all, I ain't exactly making a king's ransom. But no matter what you decide to do, remember, stay geeky.